It's time for Truth for the Times with Pastor Peter J. Peters. Truth for the Times will give you new insight, knowledge, and understanding of the times. This program may not be politically correct, but it is biblically correct. You've heard the lies and deceptions of the day. Now it's time for the truth. However, we must warn you, due to the nature of truth and man, this program could be offensive, shocking, and even frightening. But remember, the truth sets free and changeth not. And this Truth for the Times broadcast could very well change your life. So take time for this Truth for the Times broadcast with Pastor Peter J. Peters.
You know, there is a most fundamental, basic truth in the Word of God that is needed in America at this time. A time when America is being chastised by the hand of the Heavenly Father. A time when America is experiencing floods, fires, Arctic cold, hurricanes, and earthquakes. We're going to be talking about such things: floods, fires, hurricanes, earthquakes, drought, and the Word of God. You see, the Word of God has a most simple, basic, fundamental, important truth, a truth that needs to be understood at this time in America's history. A time when we see commentaries, and articles, and reports about the various disasters that come upon the land. The catalyst for this broadcast is the earthquake in 1994 in California. I started thinking about this broadcast as I viewed the various commentaries that were being given about the earthquake. As I read the articles and the newspaper reports, as I watched the reporters stand before broken buildings giving a human interest story, as I listened to the various experts that they had come onto the screen, such as the doctor of geology explaining how the earth has the various fault lines and the plates and the power that takes place and the disruptive force, as I listened to the statisticians tell us the possibilities of another quake during a certain time period, then there's the historians that come on and explain that there was a quake back in 1800-something, and this is what we estimate the size of that quake at. And then, of course, we see the government rushing in to offer the help to the people. We hear all types of things concerning the earthquake and the other disasters, except one very simple, fundamental, important truth, a truth that is right here in the Word of God. We never seem to hear about God in these commentaries. We never seem to read about Him in the articles about the earthquakes and the other natural disasters that hit our land, do we? Do you suppose that maybe God, you know who I'm talking about, don't you? The Creator of this earth, the one who through His might and His power and His force keeps it turning every day at the same speed. We never seem to hear about Him. Is it possible that maybe He, who keeps this earth turning, has something to do with causing it to quake? Very simple, fundamental point. A very simple, fundamental point that is addressed in the Word of God. And this truth in the Word of God applies not only to earthquakes, but it applies to floods that might carve down the middle of America's belly, hurricanes that rape and scourge the land bare, Arctic grips that choke off the life flow of a nation, droughts that dry up hope, people. You see, there is a truth in the Word of God. It applies to earthquakes, yes, but it applies to all these natural, what we call natural phenomena. Truth is, Nehemiah puts it very simple. In Nehemiah chapter 1, excuse me, I shouldn't say Nehemiah, Nahum, my apologies there. Nahum chapter 1, verse 5, it says, mountains quake because of Him. Mountains quake because of Him. You see, this is the most simple, fundamental truth that you could ever possibly imagine that's not being told when an earthquake hits America. Mountains quake because of God. The simple truth is God causes earthquakes. Now, you can graduate from the School of Mines in Colorado or from Harvard or Yale or wherever you want. You can have a degree in geology and never be told that one simple, basic, fundamental truth. God causes earthquakes. Did you hear it, America? Oh, yes, I know that some of you are thinking. Probably some guy saying, "Hey, Martha, come on over here. Watch this guy on TV. We got some kind of nut. He's trying to talk about God causing earthquakes and having something to do with weather. Can you imagine? I didn't think there were people like him anymore." And so she comes in. "Oh, isn't that terrible? Someone ought to call Janet Reno and tell her to come with her flamethrower and burn up this cult leader." It still stands. God causes earthquakes. You can accuse me of being simple. You can accuse me of being a radical. You can accuse me of being some kind of cult. But the Word of God still stands. God causes earthquakes. Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 5, "Because of him the mountains quake." Now the weather that we are experiencing in America, the floods, the droughts, the hurricanes, the Arctic freezes, the earthquakes, it is all part of God fulfilling his word. In the book of Psalms, chapter 148, there is a statement in verse 8 that says, listen as I read, Psalms 148, verse 8, "Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds, fulfilling his word," end the quote. Imagine that. Fire, winds, stormy clouds, fulfilling his word. Oh, yes. I know there's some people now ready to change channels on their television set because there's some nut that's saying maybe the fires that we have witnessed over the years in America, from Yellowstone to Oakland Bay, have something to do with God fulfilling his word. Maybe the winds that have blown across this land, devastating winds. I was just told not too long ago that there was a wind pattern set up near Kimball, Nebraska, went 5 miles in width and went all the way to the Missouri River, blowing devastating wind. Well, you suppose maybe the one who created wind has something to do with it and that he's fulfilling his word. Now, I know there are some of you out there that have a great difficulty accepting such a concept. And there's a reason for that. It's a very simple reason. It has to do with the way you have been brainwashed concerning religion, concerning the Bible, concerning Christianity. You say, "What do you mean I've been brainwashed?" Well, if you've been watching very much television or very much of the propaganda that comes out of Hollywood in the last few decades, it's been very subtly done in such a way, first of all, as to attack Christianity, to replace Christian values in America with Talmudic values. But it's also been done in such a way as to give in the minds of the people a certain concept about God and about the Word of God. The best way I can illustrate this concept is by way of an example that I did several years ago before a congregation of people who were intelligent. Many of them were well educated. Most of them would consider themselves Christians. Most of them would consider themselves mature Christians, you know, people that have studied the Word of God. And so I asked them a question. Actually, what I did is I passed out pieces of paper to the congregation. And I said, "Now, I want you to complete this statement." And this is what I asked them. The statement was, "God is a God of." and I left it blank, and I asked them then to complete the statement. God is a God of. You complete it right now. What do you find in your mind? God is a God of. What is it that comes to your mind? Is it not mostly love? When I got those pieces of paper back from that congregation, I would say probably 95% of the answers were exactly that. God is a God of love. I dare say that most of you out there viewing this program probably completed that statement the same way. God is a God of love. And because you've been so brainwashed as to answer that question 95% of the time with the word love, it's difficult to accept the concept that I'm giving you, that God causes devastating earthquakes, that God causes ice-gripping freezes. He is the one that brings forth the mighty winds of a hurricane. You see, it is true that God is a God of love. But what about all his other attributes? If you check into the Word of God, you'll find truth that says God is a God of wrath, that he's a jealous God. How about an angry God? The Bible teaches us clearly that he is a God of vengeance, that he is a God of judgment. Do you ever stop to think about God in those manners or ways? Quite often today, we think of him as some doting, long-haired, gray-bearded grandfather up in heaven, just smiling over his children. Or we've become so feminized in America today, I guess we think of him as a grandma up there with his big sugar teat, ready every time we're ready to call upon her. No, the God of the Christian Bible is not only a God of love, but he is a God of wrath, a God of vengeance. He is a jealous God. He's made it clear that he is a jealous God. I'll read to you a passage of Scripture that comes to my mind. This is a passage of Scripture that I normally think of when I think of the baby boom generation. It's Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 7 through 9. Listen to it. Why should I pardon you? Your sons have forsaken me and sworn by those who are not gods. When I had fed them to the full, they committed adultery and trooped to the harlot's house. They were well-fed, lusty horses, each one neighing after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not punish these people, declares the Lord, and on a nation such as this shall I not avenge myself? End of quote. Did you hear it? Shall I not avenge myself on a nation such as this? Now, does that sound like just some gigantic sugar teat in the sky full of love? Is that not an avenging God? On a nation such as this, he said, I shall avenge myself. Now, here is an important point that I want you to understand, that God deals with nations. And here we see in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 7 through 9, that he deals with a nation. An avenging God dealing with a nation. Now, the truth of the matter is, he's been made into some type of genie-type God today, to where he's just a personal genie that whenever we need him on a personal basis, then we rub the bottle, we come and we pray, and then all of a sudden he's be taking care of our problems. And I'm not saying he's not a personal God, don't get me wrong, but what I'm trying to say here is that we have got to not only develop in our minds the proper concept of the God of the Christian Bible, that he's a God of more than just love, but we've got to understand he's more than just a personal God. He's a God that deals with nations. And in his dealing with nations, weather is part of him fulfilling his word. Right after this break, we're going to tell you more about how he has promised good and or evil to a nation. So we'll be right back.
America the Conquered. The book serving as a wake-up call to a sleeping people. The prophet Isaiah cried, "Awake, awake to a people and a nation asleep to their conquest." America the Conquered by Pastor Peter J. Peters tells how, why, and proves it so. It's only for those who can face the truth. Available for an $8 offering, write to Truth for the Times, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Also order the Truth for the Times introductory offer. It's a 60-minute cassette tape by Pastor Peters. With it comes a special coupon track allowing you access to new insight and truth. Plus, a cassette tape catalog listing over 500 messages by Pastor Peters. Write to Truth for the Times, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Well, I left off with the concept that we need to grasp that he's not only a personal God, but that he deals with nations. A God of Israel, we read about in the Old Testament, was a God of a nation of people. I'll tell you more about that as we go on. How does he deal with nations? In Proverbs chapter 14, there is a simple truth that we need to grasp as a nation in verse 34. Proverbs 14:34 says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people." End of quote. Righteousness exalts a nation. In other words, if a nation wants to be blessed on a national scale, it's going to be through righteousness. That is, doing what is right in the eyes of our Creator. Now, sin, it says, is a disgrace to any people. If he deals then with nations, we see that he deals in this manner. Blessings come upon the nation of people who do what is right. What happens to a nation that becomes sinful? What happens to a nation that turns its back upon its heavenly Father after it has been blessed and prospers and begins to play, as they say? The Bible is very clear. If you're going to play, you're going to pay. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, America. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And whatsoever a nation of men sow, that nation shall reap. So what happens when a nation begins to sow immorality, such as adultery, pornography, fornication? The standard fare that we have piped into our homes today through television and VCR tapes. The things that we've been watching for several decades in America on that which comes out of Talmudic Hollywood. What happens when a nation goes so far in their sexual perversion that they allow homosexuals? People who are so perverted, the Bible calls having a depraved mind worthy of death. When we allow these people to now even come into the schools and teach our children the ultimate lifestyle. We hear and read of reports today in America where even transvestites are teaching classes on the challenges of cross-dressing. Do you think that God is not going to avenge a nation that violates his laws, that flips him off, as the world says? If there was ever a nation that, as using the, I suppose, vulgar expression, flips God off, it's been America. After all that we have done, we have defied the Heavenly Father with all this filth, with all the violation of his law. Now, what we've covered so far is that God causes earthquakes. That weather is in part of fulfillment of his word, devastating weather. And what we've covered so far is that God is not just a God of love. Jeremiah 5 said, verse 7 through 9, "On a nation such as this shall I not avenge myself?" So we see right there, if nothing else, from that one passage, that he is also a God of vengeance. Now, back to the subject of earthquakes. Why does he cause an earthquake? What is it that sets him off? Not the fault off, not the disruption of a fault line, but what is it that sets God off? Well, we find the answer to that in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, verse 10. Listen as I read Jeremiah 10, verse 10. It says, "At his wrath the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation." Did you hear it? Did you see it? Do you believe it, America? At his wrath the earth quakes. And the reason some people cannot accept this concept is because they've been so brainwashed as to believe that God is only a God of love. Here we read that he's also a God of wrath. And at his wrath, the earth quakes. Now, you never hear that commentary after an earthquake in California. You never read that in the editorial columns. You never see a reporter bring a human interest story about the fact that people are beginning to think that maybe God has a hand in all of this. And by the way, if this truth probably should be given especially for those people out there in California. You've got probably one of the most vile, wicked groups of people on the face of this earth sitting out there. They hide behind a group of trees called Hollywood. And they've been piping into our lives, into our homes. And they're not just the ones that are guilty, by the way. It's God's people that has allowed it. But they have been piping into the minds of the American people all types of Antichrist values and entertainment. And there she sits right out there in Southern California. Something to think about. It wasn't in my notes. It just came to my mind. But God causes earthquakes, and the earth quakes because of his wrath. So, he causes earthquakes, fire, hail, wind, storms, we are told, is fulfillment of his word. He deals with nations. These are truths that we need to grasp in this time when an avenging God is going to make the people understand. Understand that nations cannot endure his indignation. Oh, but we're going to pop back. We're going to rebuild. Yeah, we'll recoup and go on. No, you haven't seen anything yet. To put it in the common language, you ain't seen nothing yet, America. You haven't seen anything. There has got to be repentance. Oh, where do I go from here? How about this? Seems like the one thing that Americans are more interested in than anything else, well, not more, but right up there on top 10, is their old wallet. The old dollar and cents. And so they want to see what their president has to say in his State of the Union address as to how this old wallet pocketbook's going to be affected. They're going to write to their congressman. Make sure that they have their voice heard. Has it ever occurred to us that maybe we better be turning to the God of the Christian Bible and making some entreaties and prayers, because you see, it is he who affects our pocketbook. There's a very simple truth in Jeremiah chapter 5 that I'm going to read to you. Very simple, America. It's found in verse 25, if you want to write it down. It says, "And your sins have withheld good from you." Your sins have withheld good from you. You mean the good life that we want our politicians to promise us can be affected by some other area besides politics? Yes. Remember, righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a disgrace to any people. This is what happens to a people when they sin. Good is withheld from them. Jeremiah 5, verse 25. To give you an example, consider the cost of all that has been coming upon America of late. For example, we know that the California earthquake is estimated at $30 billion. The Arctic freeze of 1994, that figure is not yet calculated. I don't know how you could calculate it. The Midwest flood of 93 was $12 billion. Hurricane Andrew was $30 billion. And remember, Jeremiah 10:10 says the nations cannot endure the wrath of God. In other words, you ain't seen nothing yet, America. You don't think these things are going to come home and affect this right here, your wallet? You see, these are truths that need to be heard at this time in America. Truths that are not being told by those that give us the commentaries, and write the reports, and tell the human interest stories, and do the filming, and that type of thing. These are simple, basic truths that we have got to once again accept and believe. The truth is that God not only deals with nations, but the Bible tells us He deals with the nations of the house of Israel. Those people who are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who, according to Bible prophecy, were to form a multitude of nations, who in the latter times formed a great nation called America. In the second part of this broadcast, we're going to talk about God dealing with that nation, that prophetic nation in Scripture. We have a book called The Greatest Discovery of Our Age, and I'm going to just tell you that if you write to us and you ask for this little book, enclose a $3 offering, we'll send it to you. We even send it to those that don't enclose an offering. But if you're interested in finding out about America in the Bible, you can write to us at Truth for the Times, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And because we're running out of time in the first half of this broadcast, we're going to just ask those that watch this broadcast on the half-hour portion. This is a 60-minute broadcast, but we do break at half-hour because we are aired on some stations for just 30 minutes. We're going to ask those of you that have been watching us for the 30-minute show to be sure to write to us. And for those of you that are watching this on the 60-minute show, stay with us. We've got more truth for our times.
Pastor Peters will be right back with more Truth for the Times. Have you ordered your Truth for the Times introductory offer? It's a 60-minute cassette message by Pastor Peters. It will introduce you to a host of new and life-changing truths. This tape comes with a special coupon track, giving you privileged access to a treasure of new knowledge and understanding. Plus, you get a cassette tape catalog listing over 500 messages by Pastor Peters. Write to Truth for the Times, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Enclose a $2 offering for postage and handling. By the way, have you read America the Conquered by Pastor Peters? If not, you should. Available for an $8 offering, write to Truth for the Times, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Well, I think we left off with me talking about your wallet with the hopes that maybe you would understand that the Word of God is true. You cannot sin and get by, America. Jeremiah 5:25 is still there. It says, "And your sins have withheld good from you." You see, your health, your money, your wallet, your checking account, your future, your children's future, your nation depends on some very simple truths from the Word of God, truths that are needed at this time in America, a time when America is being chastised by the mighty hand of an avenging, wrathful God. Yes, He is not just a God of love, but by a God who will get our attention once again. chastising a nation with fires, hurricanes, floods, Arctic freezes, earthquakes. Some of the truths that we've covered so far is one, and we take it from Nahum chapter 1, verse 5, God causes earthquakes. Number two, these weather patterns are in fulfillment of God's word. That comes from Psalms 148, verse 8. Number three, God is not just a God of love, contrary to the way that you have been programmed to perceive him. He is a jealous God. The Bible teaches us he is an avenging God. We read in Jeremiah chapter 5, let me read it again, particularly for the baby boom generation, but not just their generation, the one right now that basically is following after the lust of the flesh. He said in verse 7 through 9, "Why should I pardon you? Your sons have forsaken me and sworn by those who are not gods. When I fed them to the full, they committed adultery, and they trooped to the harlot's house. They were well-fed, lusty horses, each one neighing after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not punish these people, declares the Lord? And on a nation such as this, shall I not avenge myself?" End quote. So there we see that he is an avenging God on a nation of people who have become a nation of sinful people. Those that would defy the living God with all their immorality, sexual perversion, with all their violations of his will, his law. And so he deals with nations, and he deals harshly. It is true, our sins withhold good from us. Again, let me show you just how much it's costing you, affecting your pocketbook. We have, first of all, the earthquake in California, 1994, $30 billion. The Arctic freeze in 94, which I do not know for sure, but it's in the billions. The Midwest flood in 93 at $11 billion. The Hurricane Andrew in 92, do you remember? It was $30 billion. And Jeremiah 10:10 still stands. It says very simply in Jeremiah 10:10, the nations cannot endure his indignation. In other words, you haven't seen anything yet. If you're going to play, you're going to pay, America. If you're going to play the harlot, as the scripture calls his nation of Israel of old, then you're going to pay the price. There are other costs. I didn't list them all. In fact, in the most recent Scriptures for America newsletter, which, by the way, you'll receive if you write to us and request it free of charge, we list the other costs. For example, how about the Oakland, California fire in 1991? That was $1.5 billion. Then there was the southeastern drought in 1986, and it was estimated at $3 billion. Now remember, I'm talking billions, not millions. I'm talking a figure that, quite frankly, most people cannot even grasp in the way of dollars. The San Francisco Bay earthquake in 1989 was estimated at $5.9 billion. And it's still true. Let me check to see if it's still there. Yes, it sure is. Jeremiah 5:25, "And your sins have withheld good from you." Somebody's going to pay for all of this. Well, the nations cannot endure his wrath. We must understand then that our God is not just a personal savior. He's not this gigantic genie in the sky for you to call on just whenever you want. He is a God for you to fear and revere and to love and to serve and to obey. And he's made it very clear what will happen to us if we do not obey. Since we're in the book of Jeremiah, let me just turn over to Jeremiah chapter 9 and address that point. In verse 9, he says to a sinful people, "Shall I not punish them for these things, declares the Lord? On a nation such as this, shall I not avenge myself?" Now, the truths that I've given you so far should bring you to this question. Why? Why, according to the Word of God, would he avenge himself on a nation? Well, we just read in Jeremiah 9, verse 9, that he does avenge himself on a nation. Why? If we drop down to verse 12 and 13, we find the answer. It says, "Who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, that he may declare it? Why is the land ruined, laid waste like a desert, so that no one passes through?" And the Lord said, "Because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed me, nor obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it." End of quote. There's the simple, basic truth that we must understand today. In America, when our land is being chastised by him. And you know, we provoke him further and further with the chastisements when we fail to stop and even think that maybe God's hand is in it. When we call men such as myself cults because we point out to the people that God does deal with nations and maybe we should repent. When we call out to false gods. You ever notice what happens to farmers when they have a disaster hit, such as a drought that I talked to you about, the one in 86 that was so expensive to America? Or the floods that come across, ripping open the belly of America like a butcher knife and destroying farmland and homes. Where do the people turn when these things happen? To the Heavenly Father above? Or to the great sugar teat in Washington, D.C.? To this Baal that the Bible calls a Baal. And we say, "Help us." You see, we today in America actually provoke the living God, because instead of turning to him in our rebellion, we turn to false gods and we say, "Save us." Instead of looking for the blessed assurance that our Heavenly Father can give us when we walk in his ways, we say, "I've got insurance. It'll cover it." Well, we'll just see how long those insurance companies are going to last in America. And we say, "Well, that's all right. We'll call for government, federal aid." Well, we'll just see how long that keeps up. You see, our God is not done yet. Jeremiah 10:10 is still true, America. Nations cannot endure his indignation. We have become just like those people that Isaiah spoke of in Isaiah chapter 1. There we read again about the God of Israel chastising his people. Isaiah 1, we read in verse 5, he says, "Where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion?" We'll stop there a second. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob saying, "I've spanked you and I'm wondering where I'm going to hit you again." But what did they do? They continued in their rebellion. He said, "The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds, not pressed out or bandaged nor softened with oil. Your land is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire, your fields, strangers are devouring them in your presence. It's a desolation as overthrown by strangers." You see, today, America is just like that nation that Isaiah spoke of. It's only a shell of her former grandeur that you see. The body, the national body, is sick from head to toe. We're being chastised, and we continue on in our rebellion. Another scripture that comes to my mind is Psalms 91. You know, it's very interesting. Psalms 91 in 1991. Correction, it's 91. I'm a few years behind. Psalms 94 in 1994. It starts out by saying, "O God of vengeance, shine forth." And it goes on to say, "He who chastens the nations, will he not rebuke? even he who teaches man knowledge. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are a mere breath. Blessed is the man whom thou dost chasten, O Lord, and dost teach out of thy law. And so, taking that truth, that principle, and applying nation of people, we can say, blessed is the nation who learns from the chastisement of the Heavenly Father. Perhaps I should, at this point in time, talk about the fact that there's hope. It's not just a God of wrath, a God of vengeance that brings on chastisement, but behind every blow there is love. And the loving Heavenly Father has brought about these things for purpose, not for us to continue in our rebellion. He's brought this about for the purpose of having us repent. I'm going to read a scripture to you. He says, if I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Let's pause there and note that it's the God of the Christian Bible who causes weather calamities in a nation, who brings about health problems in a nation. He said, if I do all that, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Now notice he's saying, if I do all this and it brings about the desired results, what are those desired results? Very clear. Repentance. He said, they humble themselves, they pray, they seek my face, and they turn from their wicked ways. That is the desired result behind the loving, wrathful hand of God who chastens a nation. And he said, if they repent, he said, this is what he said, then, now catch these words, very important, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. Do you believe it, America? Do you know that your land is a land that has been prophesied in the Bible? It's one of the reasons we ask people to write for our little book called The Greatest Discovery of Our Age. This little book, The Greatest Discovery of Our Age, will help you to find that land in the Bible. A land that he talks about having an eastern sea and a western sea. Our book, The Greatest Discovery of the Age, is available for a $3 offering. If you write to us, we can send it to you. You see, the Bible tells us about a God of the nation of Israel. It all goes back to the story of a man called Abraham. Abraham is the man we are told about in Genesis chapter 17 as having been called, having received a special covenant with the Heavenly Father. That covenant included the promise that his seed would form a multitude of nations. Now, you can read in Genesis 17, 1 through 7, where God promised that his seed, Abraham's seed, would form a multitude of nations. But there's more to that story, because right after this break, we're going to show you that the Heavenly Father promised a special nation from these people. So stay with us, and you'll find out about that nation. And pretty soon this will all tie in together as to what's happening to our nation today in America. So we'll be right back.
America the Conquered. The book serving as a wake-up call to a sleeping people. The prophet Isaiah cried, awake, awake, to a people and a nation asleep to their conquest. America the Conquered by Pastor Peter J. Peters tells how, why, and proves it so. It's only for those who can face the truth. Available for an $8 offering, write to Truth for the Times, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Also order the Truth for the Times introductory offer. It's a 60-minute cassette tape by Pastor Peters. With it comes a special coupon track allowing you access to new insight and truth. Plus, a cassette tape catalog listing over 500 messages by Pastor Peters. Write to Truth for the Times, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Well, so far in the program, we have taught you that the Word of God teaches you that He is the one who causes earthquakes, that weather calamities upon a nation is in keeping with Him fulfilling His Word, Psalms 148, verse 8, and that He is not only a God of love, but that He is a God who is a God of wrath, a God of anger, an avenging God who chastens nations. That He not only deals on an individual level, but He is a God who deals with nations. And He's made it very clear in Jeremiah 10:10 that the nations cannot endure His wrath. Now, these are basic fundamental truths that we've covered so far, but now I want to take you a step further to a truth that you need to discover at this time in America. That America is in the Bible. Now, I left off with the comment that in Genesis chapter 17, 1 through 7, because of time, we'll not turn there, but you might write down the verses and read them yourself. God promised to Abraham that his descendants, his seed, if you will, would form such a multitude as to be like the stars of the heavens, but they would be so large in multitude that they would form a multitude of nations. Now, if you read that passage of Scripture, you'll find that the covenant that was made with Abraham was to follow through to his seed after him, to his descendants, if you will, after him. That it was to be an everlasting covenant. Now, the thing that's interesting is the fact that we have failed, or let me put it this way, we have forgotten over a period of time this covenant that was made with Abraham. And today we are in need of this most basic truth, that America is in the Bible. And if America is the nation in the Bible that the prophet Nathan spoke of in 2 Chronicles 7:10, then of all nations, certainly God will be true to His word when He says, I will chasten the nations who will not obey my law. In other words, when He brings down chastisement through the various calamities, be it flood, hurricane, fire, earthquake, He's fulfilling His word. Now, His word told us that there would be a nation formed in a latter time. In the book of Chronicles, chapter 7, correction, I think it's book of Samuel, chapter 7. I think they left off with Chronicles. 1 Samuel, chapter 7, we read, make a correction again. It wasn't in my notes, it just came to my mind. 2 Samuel, we'll get it right yet. Chapter 7, verse 10. 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 10 says, quote, I will also appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, that they may live in their own place and not be disturbed again, nor will the wicked afflict them any more as formerly. End of quote. Now, this is a prophecy that's been overlooked. It's a very simple verse. It's been overlooked at this time in America, but there was a time when those Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred people were coming to America, that they understood the significance of this prophecy in 2 Samuel 7:10. This book, The Light and the Glory, is found in most Bible bookstores, most regular bookstores in America. We even carry it on our ministry. It's a book about the history of America. And one thing that's so fascinating to me is the fact that it is reported in this book. And when I say the history of America, maybe I should be a little more specific and tell you that I'm talking about the Christian history of America. The truths in this book are not being told at this time in the government school system that we have in America today, by the way. So if you've got a history major and you're one of those real smart boys and girls and you never heard this, That's not surprising. I didn't hear it when I was in the university either. I had to find it outside the university. I had to find out that America has Christian roots, and that when the people coming to America first started coming, they believed that it was in fulfillment of this passage of Scripture I just read to you in 2 Samuel 7:10. Let me read to you out of this book, The Light and the Glory, a statement on page 157. Quote, "By now, a farewell sermon had become a tradition." I'll stop there in the quote. We're talking about 1629. What's going on? "And it was," quote, "preached by a stalwart young Puritan minister named John Cotton, whose star was also destined to rise over New England. He preached on 2 Samuel 7:10, which said," quote, then quote, "moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time." End the quote, within quote, end the quote. Did you hear it? Do you understand the significance of what I'm telling you? That America is not just one of the nations that cannot endure his indignation, as Jeremiah 10:10 speaks of, but that America is a nation in Bible prophecy. You see, what happened was after the covenant was made with Abraham, Abraham had a son by the name of Isaac, and Isaac had a son by the name of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. He had 12 sons, and they fathered the nation of Israel. And as time went on, time does not allow us to cover it in detail in this broadcast, but as time went on, they formed two nations called the House of Israel and the House of Judah. Now, one of the problems that exists in America today is that ministers are calling these people Jews, but you'll not find these people called Jews in the Bible. A long, long time further on in the history, when the House of Judah, which was just one of the nations, a very small part, Judah was just one of the tribes, by the way, of those 12 tribes, became a nation. But by, perhaps the best way I can show you, tell you, is by a chart that a man had drawn up. This is a map about the reformation of Israel in the West. And maybe we can just bring it up here on the screen. Here we see on this map how the children of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, migrated into Europe, into the Isles, and eventually all the way across the Atlantic Ocean to what they called the New Jerusalem, the New Promised Land. And as the historians have reported here, David Manuel, Peter Marshall, in the book The Light and the Glory, came to America, they considered it fulfillment of the prophecy in 2 Samuel 7:10. Now, of course, 1629 was a long time ago, but it wasn't even that long back that this truth was understood in America. For example, here's an article that came out of the Newsweek magazine, July 11, 1983. I'm going to read just a portion of it, and then I'll bring a portion of it up on the screen. The article was entitled The American View. Now, I read this clear back in 1983, and I cut it out, photocopied it, kept it in my files. But let me read it here. It says, "Nothing is more embarrassing in the ordinary intercourse of life," wrote Alexis de Tocqueville 150 years ago, "than this irritable patriotism of the Americans." End the quote. Now, de Tocqueville was one of the men that came to find out what it was that made America so great. Some of you might have heard that story. He was the French philosopher, economist, and statesman that came to America to try to figure out what it was that made America so great, so prosperous, so powerful, so healthy, so wealthy. He, according to the storybooks, went to the universities of our land. He went to the halls of Congress. He walked the grain fields of America. And he found out the answer was God. But in this article, it says, I want to just bring it up here. The article says, quote, "It was an era when Americans believed their country was the new Israel. End of quote. They believed it was the new Israel. The God of the Christian Bible has not changed. As we read of how he dealt with Israel of old, he used the weather, he used national calamities, and he used other peoples to chastise them for their sin. Now, maybe you've never heard this concept before. I'm trying to bring it in light of the fact, the basic fact, that our God is behind the earthquakes, the floods, the hurricanes, the droughts. If you'd like to find that truth, study it on your own. We'll offer this little book called The Greatest Discovery of Our Age. This little book, The Greatest Discovery of Our Age, is available from this ministry. It's a very small little booklet, but it's packed full of information, and you can order it from us. It's available for offering. You just simply write to us and request it. The address is Truth for the Times, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And I can see that time is beginning to run out on me, so let's have at least some basic review. The basic review is this. Number one, from Nahum chapter 1, verse 5, we have a very simple truth. The truth is God causes the mountains to quake. It says mountains quake because of him. In Nahum 1:5, that you'll not find taught in some of the finest universities of our land that teach geology or whatever it might be. The other truth is this, that the weather, the storms, the fire, the hail, whatever, in Psalms 148 says fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds, is fulfilling of his word. And lastly, remember this. Our God is a God of what? How would you complete that statement? God of what? Hopefully, you might have completed it one way at the beginning of this broadcast, but now maybe you understand that he is not just a God of love, but he is a God of wrath, vengeance, chastisement. He is the God of Israel, and he's not changed. And sin can get by. She reaps what she sowed. Think about it. Thank you.
You've been watching Truth for the Times with Pastor Peter J. Peters. We hope you will take time to write Pastor Peters. Your comments and requests are welcome. This broadcast was made possible by the free will offerings of those who love truth and want to pass it on. If you want to help Pastor Peters to that end and these Truth for the Times broadcasts, you may do so with your prayers and your support. To write Pastor Peters or to order items offered in this broadcast, write to Truth for the Times, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535.